Welcome to Sfardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 25. The last parak dealt with the two communities of Jews who lived in the time of Tzidkiyahu. One was centered in Bavel, and one was in Yerushalayim. Hashem says in the last parak that the community in Bavel will rebuild after the Churban. This parak takes place at an earlier time, in the time of Yehoyakim. This nevuah takes place in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, son of Yoshiahu, that was in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. As crown prince, Nebuchadnezzar had been leading military campaigns to conquer the territories of Assyria that were now vulnerable. Egypt had the same intention, and Parnacho held the positions to the west of the Euphrates, while Babel held the east. In the first year of his reign, according to Rabbi Landy in the book Uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar conquers Carchemish, a stronghold on the banks of the Euphrates, destroys Nineveh once and for all, sends the spoils of the Assyrian Empire back home, and then conquers the Egyptian army in the north of Israel. Yirmiyahu addresses the whole nation, first to remind them about his relationship with them and his credentials. He has been a Navi spanning from the 13th year of Yoshiahu to the 4th year of Yehoyakim, which has now been 23 years. Yirmiyahu tells them that though he has spoken to them and warned them, they have never listened. Other Nevi'im have also come during this time. Verse 4, Hashkem v'shaloach, they were sent early and often, but Yehuda never listened to them. Yirmiyahu and the other Nevi'im share the same message over and over, which we have heard already. Verse 5, Shuvu na ish midarko hara umeroa ma'alehem. Every person should return from his evil way, their corrupted thought patterns, and from their bad actions. When they do tshuva, their lives would stay the same. They would continue to live in their ancestral lands. Hashem recognizes that doing tshuva for all their averos is a daunting task and encourages them to at least not serve other gods. V'lo sach isu osi b'ma'aseh yedeichem v'lo ara lachem. Don't anger me with the works of your hand that you make something a false idol to serve, and I will not hurt you. Even if they don't change anything else, if they just don't serve avodah zarah, Hashem won't do anything positive for them, but he won't harm them. Yehuda, as we know, did not listen to Hashem, and they chose to provoke Hashem by purposely creating idols to serve. Hashem will inspire the nations of the north to join together under one king, Nebuchadnezzar, who the Pasuk calls Avdi, my servant. He is doing the mission Hashem has set for him. Hashem will bring this army with Nebuchadnezzar at the head to the land of Yehuda and also to attack all the other nations in the region. The Haharamtim Isamtim Lashama Vilisreka Ulacharvos Olam, and I will destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and desolation forever. This will happen to Yehuda, as well as to all the other nations who will suffer because of the actions of Yehuda. Yehuda is headed for a fundamental change in life. There will be no more Kol Sason v'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan v'Kol Kala. There will be no more sounds of happiness and joy, sounds of grooms and brides. There won't be any more celebrations. There also won't be any sounds of everyday life. There won't be the Kol Rechayim, the sound of the millstones, of wheat being ground into flour, which is a necessity for life. It will not be safe to transport grain or to harvest. There won't be the Or Ner, the light of the lamp. When you look at the earth from a satellite, you can see which regions are populated and productive because there's light pollution, and where they're not because you can see no lights. There will be no oil in Yehuda, so they will have to sit in the dark. In addition, grain in the Torah very often represents sustenance, and oil represents peace, light. In this case, they will not have either. Verse 11, this whole land will be a lacharba lashama, for a desolation and a waste. Verse 12, Yehuda will serve the king of Babel for 70 years, and at that time, the fortunes of the king of Babel will be reversed. Efkod al melech Babel v'al goy ha'hun om Hashem es avonam. I will punish the king of Babel and that nation, says Hashem, for their sin. They destroyed all the other nations, and so their punishment is that they will also be turned to ruins. All the nations that were enslaved by Babel will turn around and enslave them. Babel will face an ultimate judgment, verse 14, V'shilamte lehem kifa'alam u'chemase yedehem. I will pay them back according to their deeds and according to the work of their own hands. In the first part of the parak, Yirmiyahu tells Yehuda about the trajectory of the next span of history. From verses 15 to 29, Hashem shares a special nevuah about the fate of the other nations in the region. The nevuah has a symbolic message where Yirmiyahu is told to envision himself taking a cup of wine and giving it to all the nations. This cup of wine is a poetic way of telling Yirmiyahu that he should share his nevuah with the nations surrounding Yehuda. The wine symbolizes the upheaval and punishment that all the nations will experience, just as wine confuses the mind. Verse 16, the nations will shasu viskoashu vishololu. They will drink and reel to and fro and be like madmen. They will hear the nevuah and they will be rattled from the fear and become crazed from the fear of the attack that is coming. Yirmiyahu does as he is told, and he sends around this cup, meaning he sent his nevuos to the other nations. He started sharing his message with Yerushalayim and Yehuda and its nobles and princes that they would be destroyed. He then tells Paro, king of Egypt, and all of its princes and its nation. He sends a message to Ha'erev, who Rashi says are groups of people that relied on Egypt, like Libya and Nubia. He sent it to Eretz Utz, who are the people living in the lands of Edom, and to the cities of the Plishtim to the west of Israel. Verse 21, he sends messages to the lands to the east of Israel, like Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon. Verse 22, he sends it to the countries on the coast of the Lebanon to the north, Sur and Sidon, to islands in the sea, probably Cyprus, to Dedan and Tema, regions in Arabia, Buz and Ketuzei Peah, places where they had some sort of milah, probably because they are descendants of Yishmael and Keturah. He sends the messages to the Arabs and the other people that live in that area and people who live in the wilderness. He addresses the kings of Zimri, who are not mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh, and the kings located in the southwestern and northern Iran. Verse 26, he sends the prophecy to the kingdoms who sit to the north and northeast of Mesopotamia. He sends this message to Hakrovim v'harachokim ish el achiv v'eskol hamamlachot ha'aretz asher al pnei ha'adama, to those far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world. His message is that they will all be conquered. His final message is about Melech Sheshach yishta achrayim, the king of Sheshach will drink after them. Who is this king of Sheshach? There's an alphabetic cipher that is used to encrypt Hebrew letters called Atbash. Aleph becomes Tav, the first becomes the last letter, and then you swap the second letter with the second to last letter, etc. In Atbash, Sheshach is Babel. They will be the final kingdom to be destroyed at the very end of this short history of 70 years. Rabbi Landy suggests that Babel is written cryptically, as Yirmiyahu feared for his life if he were to send this message about Babel's downfall during their height of their power. The nevuah that Yirmiyahu is to send to the nations is in verse 27. Shesu v'shichru ukiyu v'niflu v'lo sakumu. Drink, get drunk, vomit, fall, and don't get up. These are the stages of intoxication. Yirmiyahu is telling the people to act with the most severe drunkenness, as if they're vomiting and they can't get up from where they have fallen, because it's in their interest to respond to Nebuchadnezzar in this way. They cannot fight. Mipnei hacharev asher anochi sholeach b'neichem, from the sword that I am sending among you. Yirmiyahu warns them not to fight against the onslaught from Babel, because if they do, they are setting themselves up to be completely wiped out. Rather, they should act as if they have no control and no ability to put up any sort of fight like a drunkard. Verse 28, they may try to refuse to drink. V'haya, kim anu lakachas hakos miyadcha lishtos. Yirmiyahu tells them that even if they refuse to accept the nevuah, even if they refuse to take this cup from Yirmiyahu's hand to drink, and they choose to fight against Nebuchadnezzar, they won't be successful, and in the end, they will be forced to drink their defeat. Hashem plans to destroy Yerushalayim. This city has a special hashgacha, is watched in a special way. If Hashem has a plan to destroy this city, it will happen. Nebuchadnezzar will win every battle he sets out to fight. Verse 29, Ki cherev ani korei al kol yoshvei ha'aret. I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. In verses 30 to 38, Yirmiyahu next describes the pain that the whole world will experience from Nebuchadnezzar, and he does so in great detail. They can't fight, and they will suffer, and this is how they will suffer. Verse 30 tells us that Hashem is kviyachol as if shouting to the nations from his place in heaven that the time has come for the nations to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Sha'og yish'ag al navehu. He roars mightily in mourning because of his beautiful place, the Beis HaMikdash, that is about to be destroyed. Shouts like kidorchim ya'aneh al kol yoshe aret, like those who stump grape, who call out to all who dwell in the land. Those who press grape cheer and shout to encourage each other to move faster and work harder to get a product they are looking for. Hashem is both telling the nations to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and also that they should mourn this reality. Verse 31. Hashem's cry shakes the earth. Ki riv l'Hashem bagoyim nishvatu l'chol basar. For Hashem is fighting with the nations. He is judging every flesh. As Hashem is about to judge the Jewish people for all they have done over the centuries, it is now a time of judgment for everyone in the world. In addition, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, says the Mishpatzot Zahav, it served as a protective force for the whole world. Chazal say that if the nations would have known how helpful the Beis HaMikdash was, they would have set up guards to protect it. When Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he asked that the prayers of anyone from the other nations that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash should always be fulfilled. In addition, the Jewish people always offered karbanos every sukkahs on behalf of every single nation in the world. The loss of the Beis HaMikdash impacts every nation and every person negatively. Verse 32, Hinei ra'a yotzeis migoy al goy. Behold, evil will go forth from nation to nation. Death and destruction will go from Babel to every nation like a great storm that will encompass the earth. The battlefields will be littered with the slain, mikzeh ha'aretz v'ad kzeh ha'aretz, from one end of the earth until the other end of the earth. There will be so many dead people that lo yisaftu, v'lo ye'asfu, v'lo yikaveru. They will not be eulogized or gathered or buried. The corpses will rot where they fell, v'domen al pnei ha'adama yihyu. They will be like dung, which will turn into fertilizer upon the face of the ground. We have seen this punishment decreed on the Jewish people a number of times in Yirmiyahu. Here, the Pesukim are telling us that the other nations will suffer the same fate. The amount of death and destruction is an unfathomable tragedy. Verse 34, Helilu haroim v'za'aku. The shepherds, the leaders of these nations, should cry out and mourn when they see the slaughter that is coming on their citizens and their armies. And I will break you in pieces, and you shall fall like a precious vessel. These nations are compared to precious glass vessels. When a vase is whole, it can be incredibly valuable, but once it is broken, it isn't worth anything. It just gets swept up with garbage. During the times of peace, these nations had so much wealth and potential. Now, during war, they are broken and worthless. The kings and the ruling class hear this message, and they start planning escape routes, just like Tzidkiyahu had a way to escape by the tunnels outside the city. Verse 35, V'avad manos min haro'im, and the shepherds shall have no way to flee. Just like Tzidkiyahu and his family were caught, all the kings and their nobles will be captured when they try to flee. Verse 36, the shepherds and the leaders of the flock will cry out and wail, Kishodeid Hashem esmarisam, because Hashem has spoiled their pastures. The leaders scream because they all recognize that this punishment isn't natural. It is too extreme, too violent, and it must have been executed by Hashem himself. Continuing the metaphor of the sheep and the flocks, the pasture lands that had been so peaceful, verse 37, Vinadamu Noos Hashalom, and the peaceful pasture lands are destroyed. The Ma'am Lois adds, based on a Medrash, that after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, there will never be full world peace again. The Perek ends, Azav Kakfir Suko, Hashem has left his den as a lion. A lion will stay close to his den until he has no food. If he needs food, he moves on, abandoning his old home, and he shows no emotional attachment to the place. Hashem has removed his Shechina from the Beis HaMikdash, and so it is left wasted, like a lion leaves his den. In this parak, we learned about how Nebuchadnezzar will destroy both Yehuda and all the nations that surround it. Hashem will punish Babel after they finish their job, which is being done as a tool of Hashem to punish Klal Yisrael. One lesson that this parak can teach us is the central role Klal Yisrael plays in the history of the world. When the Jewish people did mitzvos and served Hashem properly, the Beis HaMikdash was the source of blessing for the whole world. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, peace was shattered for all the nations, not just us. As we witness war and devastation in countries across the world, we should be inspired to daven for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and rededicate ourselves to living lives of Torah to bring that redemption so that peace will return to all of mankind once again. Thank you for studying together, Le'igoy Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.